No other shampoo, not a soap in the world, leaves hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. Only Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner. Hello?
Hello, is this the Dreen Show rehearsal with Rudy Valley, Monty Woolley, and the Les Paul Trio?
Yes, who is this?
I'm an 18-month-old baby. I just learned to talk.
Should fall in love with you. Do you think that you could love me? Supposing I should hold you and caress you, would it impress you or distress you? Supposing I should say for you I yearn, you think I'm speaking out of turn? And supposing I declare it, would you take my love and share it? I'm not supposing, for I really do.
Listen, ladies, you know that one of the first steps to glamour is shining, lustrous hair. Well, you'll never know what a difference just a shampoo can make until you try Dreen with hair conditioner. Suppose you're washing your hair with soap, cake soap, liquid soap shampoo, or any other shampoo except Dreen with hair conditioner. Well, listen, no soap, no other shampoo combines all the beauty advantages this wonderful new Dreen brings you. Dreen reveals up to 33% more luster than any kind of soap because it never leaves any dulling film on hair, as all soaps do, to hide the shining loveliness. And now that the new improved Dreen contains a wonderful hair conditioner, it leaves hair far silkier, smoother, and easier to manage right after shampooing. Besides, Dreen completely removes every trace of unsightly dandruff the very first time you use it. No other shampoo of any sort combine such luster and such manageability with this complete removal of dandruff. Only Dreen with hair conditioner. So for this three-way beauty care, always Dreen your hair. No other shampoo, not a soap in the world, leaves hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. Only Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner.
All right, Frank, let's skim through the next number. Come in.
Announcing the arrival of his exalted personage, master of the spoken word, crown prince of wit, and first gentleman of the theater, Mr. Monty Woolley.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as for you, Ronald.
Yes, master.
Your announcement of the great Woolley was even more inept. That miserable performance you gave this afternoon when I arrived at the Brown Derby and Ciro's. You recall what you promised to do if there were no improvement.
Oh, but Master...
You know what you promised to do, Ronald.
Very well, Master.
That's better, Ronald.
I'm aghast, Mr. Woolley. When your servants displease you, do you always insist they shoot themselves?
No, hardly. I oft-times suggest harakiri. Less noisy, you know.
Yes, well, regardless of that rather unnerving demonstration of a decadent feudal system, I bid you welcome to our little musical soiree, Mr. Woolley. And if I may voice an appreciative comment on your appearance, you look rather fetching in that rhapsody in tweed.
Thank you. It isn't tweed. I'm rather partial to this particular suit, too, Rudy. It was bought and paid for by one of my most ardent admirers.
Really?
Who? Me. Somehow I feel that this suit has captured the divine spirit of Woolley. Don't you think it brings out the real me?
Yes, in several places.
Funny, very funny. My contract forced me to say.
That was a subtle bit of wordplay in my part, if I do say so myself. I have a very dry sense of humor.
Dry? I am dehydrated. And furthermore...
Come in.
Hey, Mr. Woolley, I'm your cab driver. My cab's loaded with your trunks, and I can't get it started, and I'm parked alongside a fire hydrant.
Well, why don't you push it?
I tried to, you, but I don't know how hard it is to push a fire hydrant.
I was referring to that secret weapon of destruction you call your cab. I'll go down this instant and wait.
Oh, but I can't afford to get a ticket. I got 10 children.
My good man, this is the Dream Show, not We the People. Now leave us at once and lend a watchful eye to the luggage. We'll be on route directly for Mr. Valley's home.
My home?
Yes, I decided to move in with you, Rudy. It's sort of a Christmas present to you.
You're moving in with me? But what's wrong with your hotel room?
Well, my boy, see, in me, you see, an innocent victim of the lodging shortage. For the past 3 months, I have been sharing my room with a man whom I had never met before, and his snoring is horrifying.
Well, why don't you tell him to stop?
I don't talk to strangers.
I'm sorry, but your staying at my house is impossible. Now, if you don't mind, I'll get back to the show. I have my sponsor to consider, you know.
Your sponsor? Yeah. Oh, your sponsor. Oh, yes. The gentleman who hires you to sing and pays through the nose.
That's a moot point, Mr. Willie, about my nose. But if you think you can stay at my home, you're talking through your hat.
But, Rudy, my friend, I just want to stay over 2 days.
Oh, you just want to stay over 2 days? That's okay.
Yeah, yes. From today till Easter.
Today to Easter, but you just said you wanted to stay over 2 days.
Well, that's over 2 days.
Very well, then you trap me. Press Paul, you and your trio run over your number, and then you and the gang join me at my home for the rest of the rehearsal. I'm taking Mr. Woolley up there now.
Well, Here we are at Mr. Valley's home, gentlemen. That'll be $4.75, please.
Oh, yes, yes, the fare. Rudy, can you change $100 bill?
$100 bill? Why, yes.
Good. Then you can afford to pay the fare better than I can.
Well, very well, but my heart isn't in it. Wait till I open my purse, driver.
Rudy, where in the world did you get that purse?
It was given to me by the producer of Inner Sanctum. Here's your money, driver. Here's a tip for you.
Gee, a nickel! Now my wife can afford another baby!
Well, Mr. Woolley, this is my abode, silver tip. Built the house myself. What do you think of it?
Amazing. It's remarkable what one can do with an erector set.
Well, I think it's quite impressive. Some of my other guests were carried away with it.
Well, anything's possible with these California floods.
I know you just love my musical door chimes, Mr. Woolley. My neighbor, Jack Benny, wanted to make a few extra cents, so I had him build it. Listen. Good evening, Chatsworth.
Oh, hiya, boss. You just missed it. Some tomato named Gladys just called you.
Tomato? Gladys happens to come from one of the best families in Boston.
Oh, my yellow boss. Some tomato named Gladys just called you. You know, boss, that dame you've been running around with sure is hoity-toity.
On that point, I wish to differ. I have seen the lady under discussion. She may be hoity, but she'll never see toity again.
Oh, Chatsworth, this is our house guest, Monty Woolley.
Oh, hiya, Monty, old kid. I was just setting the table for some chow. Would you like a bite?
No, and don't try it, Bud.
No, Mr. Woolley, Chatsworth didn't mean it that way. It's purely a colloquialism. See, he's from the East.
Yeah, I come from Brooklyn. NY.
NY is what I should like to know.
Just for that crack, you ain't getting no service out of me.
My pugnacious poltroon, it may never have penetrated between those two globs of cauliflower growing out of your cranium. But from my very inception, I have been doted upon by ubiquitous and sycophantic lackeys.
Huh?
Mr. Woolley says that he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Well, why don't he take it out when he talks?
Mind your gibbering tongue, you untutored lout. You are in the austere presence. The most ethereal mortal in this entire universe.
Yeah, well, I don't believe it.
Atheist. Now remove yourself from my presence and fetch my luggage.
Fetch your luggage? Hey, what do you think I look like?
Silly boy, you left yourself wide open. Have you ever seen those magazine advertisements of plastic surgery operations on the face? Labeled before and after?
Yeah.
Well, you look like during.
Yeah. That sounds it. I quit.
Oh, please don't, Chatsworth. I'll tell you what. If you stay, I'll let you have my silver butter dish.
Eh? What silver butter dish?
The one sticking out of your pocket.
Okay. But you ain't getting back the butter. Well, Woolly, where's the luggage?
Outside, all 13 trunks.
Oh, wait a minute. I won't carry 13 trunks.
Now, don't tell me you're superstitious. And now, Rudy, if I may see my quarters.
Certainly. They're right next to mine on the third floor.
Very well. Shall we take the elevator?
There is no elevator. My climb is your climb.
Rudy, my boy, I sometimes shudder to think that I breathe the same air over which you broadcast. And now... Jack Benny must be taking lessons.
I'm expecting some people, Mr. Woolley. Would you see who it is?
You want me to open the door?
No, just open the little panel in the door.
Whom are you expecting? Kitchen?
No, I just want to make sure. It's the band boys, and I'll let them in and get the rehearsal going. Come on in, boys. Come on in, boys. Set up your instruments here.
We've got a little timing to do in my next number.
Well, perhaps I'd better saunter out and see how arsenic and old face is doing with my luggage. Oh, you with the trunks on your head. What's your name?
Just call me Flat.
Comes from out the blue the sudden thought of you, filling my heart up and thrilling me through. All of a sudden my heart when I remember little things, the way we danced, I held you tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight, the crazy things we say and do, the fun it is to be with you, the magic thrill that's in your touch. Oh, darling, I love you so much. The secret way you press my hand to let me know you understand. The wind and rain upon your face, the breathless world of your embrace, your little laugh and half surprise, the starlight gleaming in your eyes, remembering all those little things, all of a sudden my heart sings. And it shows the way you wrinkle up your nose, remembering all those little things, all of a sudden my heart sings.
Making a casual survey of your liquor supply, and I find you're completely devoid of scotch.
That's impossible. I brought home a bottle of scotch yesterday.
Well, while you were singing, a chap came in collecting empty bottles for the salvage drive.
What has that to do with my bottle of scotch?
Well, one must be patriotic.
I can see I'll have to put everything in this house under lock and key. I couldn't even trust George Washington here.
George Washington? Don't tell me you're going to have another guest.
My dear gentlemen of letters, and when I say letters, I refer to the ones D-O-P-E. George Washington was the president of the United States.
You mean we had another one?
So the rumor goes. George Washington was the lad who was a mere stripling, confessed chopping down the cherry tree, and his father didn't scold nor strike him.
Yeah? Well, why not?
Because the kid had a hatchet in his hand. I'm going up to my room.
Oh, hello, Miss Gwynn. I can tell by your bloodshot eye that you've been peeping through drafty Hollywood keyholes again. Tell me, Edith, have you found out the real reason why Lassie left home?
No, but I could relay some gossip I picked up in the Mocambo powder room between puffs.
Oh, let's have it.
Listen to this. If Judy Garland really marries dance director Vincent Minnelli, and a lot of people think she will, believe me, one of Hollywood's best-known writers will be carrying a terrific torch.
Rudy!
Yes, Mr. Woolley?
Come up here at once.
Yes, Mr. Woolley. What is it, Mr. Woolley?
Rudy, it grieves me to say that you are lacking in the very primary precepts of the perfect host. Look at that ashtray on the table, full of cigarette butts.
I'm sorry, Mr. Woolley.
Well, you should be. You know they're not my brand.
Well, I'll do what I can tomorrow, but it is difficult to find cigarette butts with cork tips. Now I'll have to get back to Miss Gwynn. What other items have you got, Miss Gwynn?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I told you about Ida Lupino going in for those very new, very short nightgowns, the ones that end about 3 inches above the knees. This week, I'm reporting that Joan Crawford is going to the other extreme. She just ordered a dozen long flannel nighties, long sleeves and high collars, just like Grandma used to wear.
Rudy!
Yes, Mr. Woolley?
Come up here immediately.
I'm coming, Mr. Woolley. Yes, Mr. Woolley, what is it now?
That infernal honeymoon couple in the house next door. They're talking so loud, I can't sleep.
Talking loud? I can't hear them.
Well, just put your ear to the wall and you can.
Well, I'll change your room.
Don't you dare.
All right, I've got to get back to Edith Gwynn. I'm back, Edith. Hold me up and tell me some more gossip.
Laird Krieger phoned me just before he went to the hospital this week and told me that because he was having a spinal anesthetic, he'd be conscious through his entire operation. And he said he was going to watch the whole proceeding. Some people will do the darndest thing for entertainment.
Rudy!
Coming. What is it now, Mr. Woolley? I'm so exhausted, my tongue is hanging out.
Precisely why I called you. I just wrote a letter. Would you mind licking this stamp?
Gracious to Betsy. What else is new, Miss Gwynn?
Nothing special, Rudy. But look what I've brought with me.
Well, that is something.
Rudy!
Not now, Mr. Woolley. Edith Gwynn has the latest picture of Betty Grable in a bathing suit.
Where? As Socrates so aptly put it in Latin, although he didn't write Latin, Peros de Boug Unicus host a France Bernard. English translation.
Well, Mr. Woolley, you like women, I gather.
Miss Gwynn, I like women anybody gathers. Well, I believe I shall tunnel off to bed. Now, I've a new dream to dwell upon.
Oh, Mr. Woolley, you're limping.
Yes, that slippery banister between the first and ground floors, I should have taken it in low gear.
Well, you slide down banisters.
'Twas quite a pastime when I was a mere child. I used to slide down all day long until my parents decided to cure me.
What did they do?
They put barbed wire on the banister.
And that stopped you?
No, but it slowed me down.
People will say you're in love. What could be nicer than you and that certain man caught in the enchantment of love? A girl's part in this eternal web is to be alluring. And you know, girls, There's a special lure to lovely hair. Lustrous, gleaming hair that sparkles with highlights. And that's why you should use Dream Shampoo with hair conditioner.
Because no other shampoo can make your hair look so lovely.
No other shampoo, not a soap in the world, leaves hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. Only Dream Shampoo with hair conditioner. Dream actually reveals up to 33% more luster than any soap or soap shampoo. It never leaves any dulling film on hair, as all soaps do, to hide the natural luster. Instead, Dream brings out all the shining beauty. And now that this new improved Dream contains a wonderful hair conditioner, it leaves hair far silkier, smoother, and easier to manage right after shampooing. So, girls, for lovely, shining hair, the kind that makes men fall in love, always use Dream Shampoo with hair conditioner, or ask your beauty shop to use it.
That's all for now, everybody. Thanks for coming over. I certainly...
Rudy!
Coming, Mr. Woolley. Yes, Mr. Woolley?
Good night, Rudy.
Good night. The most beautiful girl in the world picks my pies, I'll eat my candy, drinks my brandy. The most beautiful girl in the world, the most beautiful star in the world, may be simple, but a dimple makes that simple little face the most beautiful face in the world. So show not a bit, natural kind of wit. She'd shine anywhere, and she uses Dream to wash out her hair. The most beautiful house in the world has a chimney, and by chimney, neath that chimney, all my slippers are next to the ones that belong to the one and only beautiful girl in the
Rudy Vallee will present another Dream show for Procter & Gamble next Thursday evening with Monty Woolley and Vivian Blaine at this same time from Hollywood. Monty Woolley can currently be seen in the 20th Century Fox production When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. This is Truman Bradley reminding you that no other shampoo, not a soap in the world, leaves hair so lustrous yet so easy to manage. Only Dream Shampoo with hair conditioner.
Twice a wear, yes. You get up to twice a wear your clothes.